Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. My name is Sarah Lazars, and I serve as a member of the church. I'm not on any board or anything. Well, I kind of am on a committee. I've been a member here at First Unitarian Church for close to 10 years, I guess, now. And in the pulpit this morning, we have Ron Glossop. You're invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in the Kate Worker Room through these doors. And I believe today is potluck, so even if you didn't bring anything, please help eat the food. If you're visiting with us for the first time and you don't mind raising your hand, could you please do that? Let us know you're here. Second time, yay! If you are a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that if this is your first time, you'll consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and placing the card in the offering plate or handing it to an usher. If you'll do that, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about all the programs and activities going on here at the church. You don't have any children with you, do you? Okay, so I don't have to read the next part. If you would like to learn more about the church and Unitarian Universalism in general, please visit the information displays in our fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information you are welcome to take home with you. And now I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet. If anyone has a short announcement for the good of the church, you may come up to the microphone and share that with us now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Juliet. I'm the acting religious education coordinator. Sorry, I always get lost. I have two very exciting announcements. The first is, for those of you who are looking, particularly younger folks, but everyone might be welcome, looking for something exciting to do on Easter, not only are we having a traditional Easter service, but as part of that service, we are also having an Easter egg hunt, and I am very excited about that. So tell all of the small people, Easter egg hunt here on Easter Sunday. And the following Sunday, that's it, April 20th, the following Sunday, the 27th, after second service, we're going to have an RE meeting about sort of how we're going to put things together next year and what we need volunteers for and just planning out the next year. So especially if you have kids, you're welcome, but anybody is welcome if you just want to talk about the future of the RE program. So I hope to see you all there.
I too have an announcement. I have sent out information through the newsletter and posted on Facebook about the Metro UU Social Justice Group and the intercongregational social justice opportunity that we are going to be having. We are working with our other UU congregations in the St. Louis area and with a group called MSLICE, Metro St. Louis Coalition for Inclusion and Equity. To help clean up some empty lots in the Kensington Redevelopment Academy neighborhood. This is an area just north of Del Mar, near First Church in St. Louis. And the needs are mostly to get rid of vegetation. And so if you are interested in helping out with this project, you will also hopefully bring with you some equipment such as chainsaws or pruning saws and that sort of thing. And this is also an opportunity to get to know other people in our community that are not necessarily part of the UU congregations. And it's also an opportunity to find out some other ways you can get involved in helping out this area north of Del Mar. It is going to be family friendly. There should be some children's activities and stuff for kids to do away from the chainsaws. And there's hopefully, I haven't seen the whole plan yet, but hopefully there will be a barbecue at the end of our day. So if you're interested in doing this, I have a sign-up sheet. You can ask me more questions about it, and I will be posting more bits and pieces of information on the Facebook page as they come available. At this time, I invite you to move to the microphone, share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you may bring with you to church this morning. Notice that there will be a time to share concerns and sorrows in a few moments. I'm happy to be out and about in a beautiful spring morning. Yes.
So Peg organized a really awesome women's retreat out of Edwardsville, and it was a fantastic time and just a wonderful spiritual gathering of powerful females, and I know I left feeling very invigorated and happy, so I wanted to express my gratitude to all the women there and to Peg for organizing it.
I invite you now to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns you may bring with you to church this morning.
I'm Matt Cook, and I have a concern. This coming week, my mom's going in for heart surgery, so to repair a valve. So that's what my concern is.
I'm still willing to paint for anybody that'll let me. Haven't heard anything about from you, so paint in Louisiana, heck of a time. And Mercy is out with a cold.
I also have a concern for my brother's mother-in-law, who is getting out of ICU. She had a stroke a few months ago, and they discovered some other problems, but she is going to be coming home this week, but she's got a long road ahead of her, so. Do we have a hymn at this point? Or that one? I can't sing, so excuse me for how it's gonna sound. I need the words, though. There we go.
Gathered here in the mystery of the hour, gathered here in one strong body, gathered here in the struggle and the power, Spirit drawn near.
May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts, a burden shared, become a load lightened. The prelude begins our worship service as ZZ Campbell lights our chalice.
Thank you.
This is the mission of our faith, to teach the fragile art of hospitality, to revere both the critical mind and the generous heart, to prove that diversity need not mean divisiveness, and to witness to all that we must hold the whole world in our hands. Let us worship together. Our first hymn will be projected on the wall and is number 318 in the gray hymnal, We Would Be One. Please rise up as you are able. Please join in responsive reading 728, both projected on the wall in the behind me and in the back of your hymnal. It is entitled Blessed Are Those from John Barron's. Blessed are those who yearn for deepening more than escape, who are not afraid to grow in spirit. Blessed are those who take seriously the bonds of community, who regularly join in celebration and learning, who come as much to minister as to be ministered unto. Blessed are those who bring their children, who invite their friends to come along, to join in fellowship, service, learning, and growth. Blessed are those who support the church and its work by their regular, sustained, and generous giving, and who give of themselves no less than their money. Blessed are those who know that the church is often imperfect, yet rather than harbor feelings of anger or disappointment, bring their concerns and needs to the attention of the church leaders. Blessed are those who, when asked to serve, do it gladly, who realize that change is brought about through human meeting, who do the work of committees and stay till the end. Blessed are those who speak their minds in meetings, who can take and give criticism, who keep alive their sense of humor. Blessed are those who know that the work of the church is the transformation of society, who have a vision of beloved community transcending the present, and who do not shrink from controversy, sacrifice, or change. Blessed are they indeed.
All that will be the blessings.
seated. Freely we have we received of gifts that minister to our needs of body and spirit. Gladly we bring to our church and its wide concerns a portion of this bounty. We have been greatly blessed. Let us now give generously so that others might be blessed by the work of the church. The morning's offering will now be given and received. Kids, you get Aunt Sarah today. Come on down. Got everybody? All right. So we had a lot of rain during the week.
Yes.
Yay. It's not raining today, but it's going to rain again because it's spring.
Yay.
Oh boy. I know. But we kind of need the rain, right? Yeah. So I found a story about raindrops. So some food for thought about rain. Up above us, near the sky country, in a place called Cloudland, live a great many little people called raindrops. They are very helpful and always try to do their best because they know the great king of Cloudland has work for them all. One morning, two tiny raindrops were sitting together looking down at Earthdom. "How dusty and hot everything looks," said one drop. "Yes," replied the other. "Let us go down and see how much good we can do in Earthdom today." So these two little raindrops called their brothers and sisters and told of their plan and asked them to go, too, for they always wanted to share their good time with others. "Let's have a game of tag and see who will reach the top of that hill first," said one little raindrop, and away they scampered. They ran so fast that they reached Earthdom at about the same time, and how glad Mother Nature was to see them. Some of them went at once to visit the flowers and whispered such sweet words to the tired, dusty blossoms that they raised their head again and thanked the raindrops for the comfort they had brought. Some of them slid down the slanting roofs of houses and filled the wells. Our two little raindrops, with five others, went down into the brown earth and cheered up the roots. Then they traveled on, and by they came out again further down the hill and made a beautiful spring around which the little children played. The spring soon helped make a brook, and that flowed down over the hillsides, winding in and out among the rocks, washing them smooth and round, singing as it rippled on its way. By and by, it met some more brooks, and they made a stream. The sunbeams loved the clear stream and danced to and fro over its surface, and as it rushed joyously onward, turning the busy mill wheels and keeping the grass and flowers alive and beautiful. Sometimes weary travelers walked along its banks and stooped and quenched their thirst in its pure, cool water. While the stream journeyed on, it met other streams, and they made a rivulet, and by the rivulet heard a low voice calling, "Come with me, and I will show you the mightiest of waters." So the rivulet joined the river, and together they traveled on till they heard the deep voice of the ocean welcoming them into its cave. Where were the little raindrops that left Cloudland early in the morning? They were playing among the ocean waves and helping to rock the ships that sailed over the waters. At sunset, a vapor boat carried the drops back home to the eastern sky, and they stood with robes of red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, and violet, and made a bright bow of promise. As they looked down and earthed them once more, everything was fresh, sweet, and glad, because the little raindrops had done so much to help others, and they had left no part of their work undone. The night shadows came, and the rainbow faded slowly away, leaving a message for the children of Earthdom. Do your best, little children, and big children too, for there is work for all. Now, where are you going to go? No, where are you going to go? See, I'm tripping you up. You're going to your classes, right? Where you will do what? Have fun and learn something. Bye. Have fun. Learn something.
Our reading this morning is from Eusebius, a Stoic poet. May I be no one's enemy, and may I be the friend of that which is eternal and abides. May I wish for every person's happiness and envy none. May I never rejoice in the ill fortune of one who has wronged me. May I, to the extent of my power, give needful help to all who are in want. May I never fail a friend. May I respect myself. May I always keep tame that which rages within me. May I accustom myself to be gentle and never be angry with others because of circumstances. May I know good people and follow in their footsteps. In our prayer and meditation, let us think of the whole world community, not just our families, relatives, and friends who are nearby. It is not always easy to think of those who are so much in need and are in such trying circumstances. And we are ready to do what we can to help them. And may that also be the spirit of everyone else. And now may each of us, in our own way, pray for those things that are of special importance to us. Amen. Now let us sing hymn number 139. Again, it will be displayed on the wall for us. And this time we'll stay seated while we sing, "Wonders Still the World Shall Witness."
Thank you.
Our topic for today is You Use, the World Community, and You. The sixth principle of the seven being promoted by the Unitarian Universalist Association is the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. The children's version, the kids' version, is build a fair and peaceful world. Today, I want to review with you what You Use are already doing with regard to this sixth principle, how the world is now changing, and what we as individuals should be doing. Our UU denomination is based in the United States, but from the start, other parts of the world have played a major role in our becoming what we are. In Palestine, during the first three centuries after the death of Jesus, the Ebionites maintained that Jesus was not God, but only the Messiah, chosen by God to be King of the Jews. Michael Servetus, a 16th century scholar and physician whose treatise on the errors of the Trinity is often viewed as the first expression of our modern Unitarianism, was a Spaniard who lived most of his life traveling in Europe, trying to escape from both Catholic and Protestant religious authorities. And he ended up being burned at the stake in Geneva, Switzerland, by John Calvin. Italian Anabaptists and their allies were able to convene the Anti-Trinitarian Council of Venice in 1550. Anti-Trinitarian ideas were advanced by Laelius Socinus and his nephew Faustus Socinus in Italy. In 1579, Faustus went to Poland and became a leader in the Minor Reformed Church, also known as the Polish Brethren. In 1638, the Polish government, as part of the Counter-Reformation, required these Socinians to either convert to Catholicism or leave Poland. As a result, many emigrated to Transylvania, Holland, Germany, and Britain, taking their Unitarian ideas with them. In Transylvania, Ferenc David, actually we would say David Ferenc because they put their family name first, Ferenc David preached these same ideas as early as 1566. And in 1568, King Sigismund's Edict of Torda, also called Edict of Toleration, allowed public affirmation of these non-Trinitarian ideas. And it was in 1600 that these believers were officially called Unitarians. The Transylvanian Unitarian churches are still active, but now Transylvania belongs to Romania instead of Austria. It was transferred after World War I from the control of Austria-Hungary to Romania. The first organized Unitarian congregation in England was the Essex Street Church in London, which was established by Theophilus Lindsay and Joseph Priestley in 1774. And of course, Priestley later came to the United States, the discoverer of oxygen. King's Chapel in Boston was the first congregation in the United States to accept Unitarian ideas, and that was in 1782. The American Unitarian Association was formed in Boston in 1825. And the Unitarian Universalist Association was formed as a merger of those two groups in 1961. That's only 53 years ago that our UUA denomination was created. One example of the international outreach already being done by American Unitarian Universalists is the work of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. In 1939, at the beginning of World War II, Unitarians began helping refugees escaping from Nazi persecution in Europe. A year later, a service committee was formally organized, and the relief work was continuously focused in Europe. In 1963, the Unitarian Service Committee and the Universalist Service Committee were combined to form the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, the UUSC. Now that Unitarian Universalist Service Committee is engaged in humanitarian relief work in 15 countries throughout the world, including Haiti, Guatemala, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, Sudan, Kenya, and Uganda. So that is our worldwide effort. You may be familiar with the UUSC's Guest at Your Table program, which is carried out each year from Thanksgiving to Christmas in order to gather contributions for their humanitarian work. And the former UUA president, Reverend Dr. William Scholes, is the president and the CEO of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. You may recall the reading we used at the beginning of service was also his creation. Another example of international outreach by the American Unitarian Universalists is the UU United Nations office, which is located in New York, very close to the United Nations, walking distance away. In 1946, right after World War II, the Unitarians appointed Elvira Franklin to be an official delegate to the UN. And in the 1950s, both Unitarians and Universalists adopted resolutions of support for the United Nations. The UN office was established in 1962 at the suggestion of Unitarian U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Adlai Stevenson. And he suggested that each UU congregation should have an envoy to the UN. And in fact, that is the way it is now, and I am the envoy for this particular congregation. And the materials about the UUUN office are on the wall right behind me, on the other side. From 1965 to 1970, the UUUN office was financially supported by the denomination itself. But in 1971, because of financial troubles, the UUUN office had to be set up independently and supported by individual contributions. But that was changed again in 2011 when the UUA again made the UUUN office part of the denomination's work in connection with its International Resources Department. But the UUUN office still seeks individual contributions as well. The UUUNO holds consultative status with the UN Economic and Social Council and the UN Department of Public Information dealing with non-governmental organizations. In fact, UUUNO Director Bruce Knotts has played a leading role in generating support for protecting GLBT rights and other human rights internationally, as well as continuing the work that the UU was already doing with regard to UN programs on climate change and sustainable development, children's welfare, disarmament, elimination of weapons of mass destruction, and religious tolerance. So that office at the UN is an extremely active part of our work. Another example of our international outreach is the UU Partner Church Council, the UUPCC. This program began its partnering program between UU congregations in the United States and Canada and a Unitarian congregation in some other country which needs financial and other kinds of assistance. At first, all these partner churches were in Transylvania, but now they might be in Hungary or the Czech Republic or the Philippines or India, Hong Kong, Kenya, Burundi, other countries where this partners program is active. In fact, if you go to their website, you'll see that they're now seeking some churches to be partner churches with other Unitarian churches in the Philippines, Hong Kong, for example. The goal is to foster interpersonal relationships and unique educational experiences, as well as to provide assistance to the less affluent, less well-established Unitarian churches in other parts of the world. Both of the larger churches in the St. Louis area, First Unitarian Church on Waterman and Elliott Chapel, both of them have partner churches in Transylvania and have regular groups that go and visit those churches. Another example of international outreach is the International Council of Unitarian Universalists, ICUU, which was founded in 1995 in Essex, Massachusetts. This organization at first brought together mainly English-speaking countries, the United States, Canada, Australia, Britain, and New Zealand, plus, from the beginning, the Unitarians in Transylvania and some few other European countries. But now that UU Council, the International Council, also includes other Unitarian groups in Asia and African countries. This council is made up of delegates from the national bodies, and it meets every 2 years. You may remember that in the March newsletter, I had a report of my visit to the meeting that was held this year at the end of January in New York. At this year's meeting, there were 125 participants from 26 countries. Listen to this list of countries: Australia, Austria, Belgium, Bolivia, Burundi, Canada, Colombia, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Germany, Hong Kong, Hungary, India, Italy, Kenya, Mexico, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Nigeria, Philippines, Romania, South Africa, Spain, Switzerland, United Kingdom, and the United States. Think of how that international meeting was such a breakthrough for Unitarian Universalists. And there are photos and reports from it that are readily available on the internet at www.icuu.net. And you could go there and see these people from all the different countries that came and participated in that conference. Now, there's one more example of international outreach that I have a particular interest in, and this is the Unitarian Universalist Esperanto Network, UUEN. The UU Esperanto Network was formed in 2007 and became an associate member of the ICUU in 2009. In 2007, the UUEN president, Sherry Wells from Michigan, attended the ICUU conference in Germany. And in 2009, I attended the ICUU conference in Cluj, Transylvania, Romania. And this year, both of us attended the ICUU conference in New York. Also, members of the UUEN have helped to publicize Esperanto at our national general assemblies almost every year since 2007. As you know, the idea of Esperanto is a language that one can use with people all over the world. And our UU Esperanto network has members in other countries. That meant that we didn't fit in very well with the way the ICUU was structured, because it was structured to handle national organizations in these other countries. And we were not a national organization. That's why we had to be an associate member rather than a regular member. We couldn't join as a regular member. And there has been a less than completely good relationship because the ICUU just uses English, although they are starting to use some of the other national languages. Our efforts to persuade them that they should try to use Esperanto have been completely unsuccessful. But this incident, this situation, gives me a chance to move to my next point. And that is the difference between internationalism that we have in these other UU international organizations and the globalism that's represented by the UU Esperanto Network. Remember that inter is the Latin word for between. So international is between national governments. At this time in human history, we are living through a fundamental shift in the nature of our human community from the internationalism of the 19th and 20th centuries to the globalism of the 21st century. To better understand that distinction, think on the one hand of a globe or a map of the world where the different nation states are in different colors and where each is separated from the others by a black line. That is the image for internationalism, thinking of the world as made up of countries. On the other hand, what is the image for globalism? It is the photo of Earth from space, where there are no black lines for national borders, and where the common destiny of all of us on planet Earth is more obvious. That black background shows how isolated Earth is from all the rest of our universe. In international organizations, such as the UU UN Office, the UUPCC, and the ICUU, and even in the United Nations itself, the focus is on relations between national governments. And it's also on the use of national languages, with English becoming more and more important. But in global organizations, such as the UU Esperanto Network, and to some extent even in the UU Service Committee, national identity and national language are subordinated to a planetary global viewpoint. This present-day shift from internationalism to globalism has implications for each of us individually. Each of us should think of ourselves first as citizens of the world community, and only secondarily as citizens of this country, as Americans. Just as now we usually think of ourselves first as citizens of the United States and only secondarily as citizens of Illinois or citizens of Missouri. just not as important as being a citizen of the United States. With regard to community loyalty, our concern for what is good for our country should be subordinated to what is good for the whole world community. Simultaneously, we should also do what we can to transform the often ineffective UN into a democratic world government, a world federation, just as our own founding fathers transformed the often ineffective Articles of Confederation into the federally structured United States of America. The same thing that was done over 200 years ago for our country now has to be done for the world. With regard to language use, all of us can be pleased that English seems to be on its way to becoming the main language for the world community. But if others are going to have to learn a second language, shouldn't we English-speaking people do likewise? And no choice makes more sense than to learn the easier to learn nationality neutral language, Esperanto. Become part of the world community. I can tell you my own experience with Esperanto. I now have personal friends in China, in Romania, in Brazil, people that I've known and been able to communicate, meet face to face, because they also are Esperantists. This summer I'll be going to Argentina for the annual Universal Congreso. In order to do our part in assisting this transition from international to globalism, we should also support non-governmental organizations, both those that are UU related as well as other NGOs, such as Amnesty International, the Sierra Club, Doctors Without Borders, Heifer International, Human Rights Watch, and so on. These non-governmental organizations are the bridge that we need during this transition from internationalism to globalism. It should be evident that the sixth principle of promoting the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all will not be easily accomplished. It's not something that we can do quickly. But nevertheless, it is the kind of goal that we need, a goal that will keep challenging us and our children and our grandchildren and even generations after that. It is also a goal that challenges us at this critical moment in human history as we live through this monumental transition in human history from internationalism to globalism, an exciting but challenging time to be alive. Thank you. Now let us sing the next hymn, 121, which in the hymnal says, "We'll build a land," but we're changing it to, "We'll build a world." And the words will be up here. Please stand and rise as you're able. Thank you.
build a world, building up ancient cities, raising up devastations from all. Our closing reading is from Emil Gudmundsson. And now may we have faith in life to do wise planting, that the generations to come may reap even more abundantly than we. May we be bold in bringing to fruition the golden dreams of human kinship and justice. Thus we ask that the fields of promise become fields of reality. Go now in peace.